Let's start with what is your musical background?
Well, my musical background is, I guess, partly through growing up around music a lot. You know, my dad had started this pirate radio station in England and then ended up having a nightclub in Los Angeles, which sort of bridged disco and punk. And it was like, you know, I was still very young, but it certainly growing up around a lot of music, and I played a little bit, but it wasn't like I was the guy, worked my way back into certainly some aspects of rock music. You know, I've had my own bands. I've worked initially as a programmer for a number of other bands, and then in the last few years as a producer. That's ended up, you know, being from production. You know, I ended up living here. I was working a lot with, you know, the person that I have the longest and probably the best known musical relationship with is Trent Reznor and Nine Inch Nails. Sort of moved back here and was working with him, and the Hughes brothers got in contact about Touch of Evil, and that was what really started me properly in film, although I had worked a little bit on Lost Highway, David Lynch's film, a long time ago with this guy Barry Adamson, who was someone that I worked with in London, who was one of the composers on that movie. It's something I've always been interested in film, you know, and I love making music, and you know, I think that a lot of times people get compartmentalized, that he does this or he does, you know, even in the type of things that I like to work with as a producer, I like to try and keep it, you know, I really love a lot of different kinds of music. And I think, you know, as a creative person, it's okay to branch out a bit.
Well, what is the first thing you do when beginning to write a score?
Because I've only had any experience of working with the Hughes brothers, you know, I just work in the way that we work, which is I sit down with Alan and we talk, and then we send each other kind of whatever it might be, records or books, photographs in his case. Like they did for Book of Eli, they did this lookbook thing that contained a bunch of images and a bunch of quotes and a bunch of different stuff that was going around in their head, because we always do a portion of the music before there's any shooting, you know, and in different things it's been a fairly substantial piece. Like in Book of Eli, the main theme was written before any shooting was done, and that's the process of it. I don't really know about, you know, how other people would do it, so that's how we do it.
So how involved do the Hughes brothers become in your music? Or you just kind of let go and then you send them stuff and they kind of go, oh, that's nice, but, you know, is it a back-and-forth thing, or are you just let go to compose?
Well, no, I mean, on this stuff and all the film stuff, I work with my wife and my brother, and they pretty much, you know, there's conversations to be had with them, but they're not. The good thing about the Hughes brothers is they let the people who are, you know, they have that confidence that you get where people are allowed to do what they're good at. You know what I mean? There isn't a need for them to be micromanaging every aspect of whatever. And we'll certainly have broad conversations. And, you know, on one of the, in this film, for instance, you know, it was Alan's idea to voice Gary Oldman with horns or whatever it might be, you know, broad stuff. But for the great majority, yeah, you're just left alone. I mean, they do, once you get to the dub stage, there's certainly an aspect of letting go that has to take part for me, you know, because they do get involved in different stems and reorganizing stuff and whatnot. But, you know, it's a very hands-off relationship, I'd say.
So, your latest project, of course, we've mentioned Book of Eli. What was your approach to the music on the film?
Well, like I said, we sat down, you know, we went through these various different things that they put together. We just started writing, and, you know, by good fortune, the very first thing that I finished was the thing that ended up, it was a 7-minute piece, but that ended up a portion of that as the main theme, and it was also seen as a kind of roadmap sonically as to where the film was going to go. You know, and in that first batch of stuff, I think we did maybe 10 pieces or something. Not all of them were in the film. And we came up because of, I'd had the script for sort of 2 years or something. I think the Hughes brothers, you know, I'm sure it's the same in every movie. You don't, you know, there's a period of getting it off the ground. So it's familiar with certain, you know, of the kind of concepts in the film. And, you know, it is this spiritual journey. You know, we had certain ideas, not exactly set in stone, but fairly clear that the beginning of the film would be more atonal, more kind of a, not so human. And then as the film progressed, so it became first more melodic and then towards the end more orchestral. So there was certain rough ideas in place. But, you know, I think probably through naivety on my part or whatever, but a lot of stuff got written, certainly in the early stages, and then as the film took more and more shape in terms of the editing stuff, so the music became more focused.
Now, you mentioned scoring Gary Oldman, or using the instrument of the trumpet to represent him. What is that the only thing that influences instrument choice, or are there other factors?
Well, he's just, it wasn't not so much a trumpet. I mean, it's more like just low horns. You know, he's heavy. He's the bad guy in the film. And it was really just, you know, it was kind of like the thing for Denzel, Eli, is he, there's a lot of him walking around and, you know, in this sort of incredible landscape, you know, with a lot of silence. You know, I don't think there's any words spoken for the first 15 minutes of the film. So there's plenty of time to, you know, give him a vibe musically. Whereas with Gary Oldman, he's speaking a lot, and we needed him to be considerably different, obviously. And it's, I'm not talking about, you know, that's his theme and or necessarily that's his sound, but there's a certain atmosphere that kind of comes up, certainly when Gary Oldman is doing his thing. And, you know, we tried various different things, and what it ended up being, like I mentioned, was kind of Alan had an idea, we sort of ran with it a bit, and it's not strictly dark, it's just, you know, horn stuff every time he comes on, and in often case they have been sort of processed in something else, but it certainly gave him a kind of substance, you know, not substance is the wrong word, but the heaviness.
So where do you draw the line between orchestral instrumentation and sound design? Or is there a line?
Well, I don't think, I mean, as it goes, I didn't actually, stuff that we did at Abbey Road, I didn't touch after we did it. I mean, it wasn't like it was so good going there, and it was so incredible. I didn't have to do any editing or tuning or moving or anything. I just left that organic. I certainly wouldn't feel weird about processing it. You know what I mean? Like, I think anything's kind of fair game. You know, but for me, I think, you know, there's a lot of atmospheric stuff in the score. And it feels very musical to me. It doesn't feel like a sort of sound design, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't consciously trying to go within that area. I mean, because of the nature of the film, it is quite droning at points or whatever. But I think that it's, or I hope even within them that there's some kind of emotionally charged element. I don't know, that's more for you guys to judge.
This is an unusual soundtrack as it's being released in several different formats. So where did the decision come from for that?
It's not my decision. I think what happens at the end, you know, of a feature, I guess, is that they, in this case it was our music supervisor, Diva Anderson, you know, really liked the score and thought we could get a, you know, release, a decent release. And it ended up that people, you know, responded really well to it, you know, and then had the movie. And, you know, were pleased, ended up getting it, and looks like they're doing all this great stuff. I mean, I couldn't believe it, to be honest with you. I mean, I know how hard bands struggle to get two colours on their CD, you know, and they're doing all these vinyl editions and stuff. I mean, I was blown away, actually, it's the truth.
So now, as a composer, your job is, of course, to write music, but do you use silence as a composing tool?
It's funny because I was working on something that came up this week to do a few scenes in a film, and I was just working with that myself now. You know, I mean, it's like the old saying that the most important notes are not the ones you play, they're the ones that you don't play. And I certainly believe that the silence is important, yeah, and where you're going to put it.
So now, what was the most rewarding aspect of working on the Book of Eli?
For me, it was just, you know, it was just the opportunity to spend a few months writing music in a situation which I really like, with people that I get on really well with. So to get the chance just to sit down and write was brilliant. It was just one of those projects where, you know, across the board, it was just a real pleasure to do it, you know, and the different people that worked on it and the amount of support that we got was really incredible. I mean, in terms of all the horror stories that I'd been told walking into this, that it can be a nightmare and that executives breathing down your neck and you're never going to get to do what you want, got to do exactly what we wanted. And the only note I ever got from the producers, I only got one note, and it was, we really like what you're doing, keep on doing it. So that in itself, supposedly a unique experience. It really was, you know, one of the best, most fun projects, and I would say that the Abbey Road sessions were, you know, one of the best musical experiences that I've ever had. So all in all, it was good.
Mm-hmm. So you've mentioned Abbey Road a few times, and so what was it like to be recording at such a historical studio?
Well, I've worked there before, but not in the orchestra room. It wasn't, you know, it was great to go back to London. I mean, I'm from London. It was great to go back there for a few days. It was incredible to hear, you know, because it was really the A-team in terms of players. This guy, Jeff Foster, was the engineer. Who's brilliant. I mean, everyone, I was ready to be disappointed because I've just had so many experiences where you build yourself up to something and you go and you do it and it's like, oh God, this sucks. But it was just, on every level, I was so impressed with how good everyone was at what they did. And, you know, it's the first time I heard the orchestrations, you know, that I've worked with someone called Dana New on your she did the orchestrations, and she did this incredible job. And it was kind of like, it was also, you know, obviously that's done in the last week or so. So it was kind of, you know, several months' work climaxing in this thing in Abbey Road with 80 players. I mean, I just can't imagine it gets much better than that.
Well, now, how would a score that you write today differ from one that you wrote at the beginning of your career?
I think that I've got a lot better at making music, you know, and I think that, you know, in some ways it's looked down on as like you have this window in your 20s and you're just blasting. And for me, I've really found, like, in terms of my own confidence and in terms of my own experience, you know, I've just got so much more than I used to have, and I think that I'm able to, what I hear in my head, I'm able to get out the speakers much easier now than I used to be able to. And I also think that I have a much broader understanding and appreciation for music than I used to have. I think if I'd done a score in my 20s, it would have been pretty bad.
Well, what does the future hold for you?
That, I don't know. I just really try and see, not do too much planning. I would love to do another film. I mean, I am actually doing a little bit on something. I'm going to go back and work with someone who I have a long relationship with a few months next year. I'm just really going to see what happens. But I would love to do another film, that's for sure.
I really appreciate the time that you've taken today.
Okay, great.